All right, Rabotai, it's Friday morning. Our custom is to learn a chapter of the prophets, followed by an idea from the parasha or current events. We're up to chapter 11, the bankruptcy chapter. Perek Yud Aleph. The pasuk begins. Vayichishmoa Yavin Melech Hasor. So there's the king Yavin. He's the king of Hasor. Where is it? Vayishlach el Yovav Melech Madon. So he sent his colleague Yovab, the king of Madon, ve'el melech Shimron, ve'el melech Echshaf. Ve'el melechim asher mesefon, bahar u'ba'arava, negev kinarot u'bashefela, u'benafot dor miyam. Well, so it sounds like there's a big war going to take place. Everybody's piling up. Kenanim mizrach umiyam ve'emuriv ha'iti ve'perizim ve'busi bahar ha'chivi tahat hermon eretz ha'mitzpah. Wow, so everybody ganged up now all of a sudden. All against the Jewish people. Ve'yethuhem ve'chol machanehem imam, all the armies, am rav, great big nation, big people. Kahol asher asfat hayam larov, like the sand on the beach. Vesus varechev rab meod, a lot of sus varechev. Vayivadu kol ha-melachim ha-ele, they all gathered. Vayavo vayachanu yahdav el mem merom, lelachemim Israel. So they get to mem merom, and they're going to make a war against the Jewish people. Rabotai, this is very serious that you see more. Baruch Abba. So it's going to be a big big war that's going to take place at Abotai. Now I don't want to spoil it who won, but I'm sure you could take a guess. Yomer Hashem ad Yehoshua, God tells Yehoshua, Al tira mepinehem. Don't be afraid from them. Ki machar ka'et azot, tomorrow at this time, Anochi noten et kulam halalim lifnei Yisrael. All going to be dead. Halalim means corpses. Et susehem te'aker ve'et markevotem te'shrof ba'esh. So Borei Olam tells them that they have to uproot their horses. Let me to uproot them. I guess undo them from their chariots. And the markevotehem, the chariots themselves, the srof ba'esh. Burn them in the fire.
Chariots, not the horses.
Correct. Vayavo Yehoshua v'chol ha'am ha'milchama, they get to the war. At mem merom, pit'om. Sudden. Vayipidu v'hem. Vayitenem Hashem biyad Yisrael, God delivered them in the hands of the Jewish people. Vayakum, vayirdefum ad Sidon Rabba ad Mislefot Mayim ve'bekat Mitzpe Mizracha. Vayakum ad Beti Hashilim. The Jewish people attacked them. Al Beti Hashilu Hasarid. They didn't even leave any survivors. Vayasem Yeshua kasher amalu Hashem etzusehem eker. They uprooted their horses. And then what? Bet merkivotem saraf ba'esh, and they burnt their the chariots. You know what's going on over here? You ever see a war like this?
How many people?
So they can't ride them to go after them.
They're dead.
Vayashuv Yehoshua ba'etim ve'elkod et Hasor. went back and he conquered the city Hasor, Bet Malkah. The king was Yavin. Ki Hasor lefanimi rosh kol hamamlachot ha'ele. He's the head. That's the kingpin, the ace of spades. Ve'yaku et kol ha'nefesh asher ba lefi harev. Rabbi Chaim, אם כבודו ילך לבית היום, יש משהו שם. מנסור אליהו, מהבית כנסת. נו, בבית. כן. עכשיו, אשתי בבית. אוקיי, תסדר, עוד הבאס.
Sam has a verse.
אני לא בבית, אשתי בבית. Okay, all the best. Bye. He's busy. All right. Vayaku et kol ha'nefesh asher ba lefi harev. Acharem lo notar kol neshama. They didn't leave a soul. Vet hasor saraf ba'esh. They took this guy, Hasor, the city, and they burnt it in the fire. Amazing. That's the first city that they burnt in the fire, by the way. All these other wars, you don't see them burning a city in the. They burnt the whole city. That doesn't excite you. Oh, ve'et kol areyam melachim ha'elev et kol ha'melchem nachad Yoshua. He conquered all the kings. Ve'yakem lefi harev v'harim otam. Kasher sibam Moshe eved Hashem. Rak kol ha'arim ha'amdot al telam lo sirafam Yisrael. He didn't burn any other city. Zulati et hasor lebada saraf Yoshua. Only hasor. Understand what's going on over here? The pasuk is making a point out of this. V'chol shlal le'arim ha'ele v'abemem v'azul lehem b'nei Yisrael. They took all the spoils. Rak et kol adam ikul lefi harev ad yishmidam otam lo sh'ir kol neshama. Again, no survivors. Kasher siva Hashem et Moshe avdo ken siva Moshe et Yoshua. כן עשה יהושע לא השיא דבר מכל אשר סביב השם את משה ויקח יהושע את כל הארץ הזאת ההר ואת כל הנגב ואת כל ארץ הגושן ואת השפלה ואת הערבה ואת האזרת אבותיי, the war's over, he's attacking everywhere מנהר החלק עולה שעיר ועד גד בבקעת הלבנון ימים רבים עשה יהושע את כל המלכים it took him a long time to make this war, 7 years לא הייתה עיר אשר השתימה את בני ישראל nobody made peace remember we learned if they would have made peace we would have Save them. Nobody made peace except Hachivi Yushvi Giv'on, the Giv'on people. And they tricked us, actually. Et ha'kol ha'kho b'melchama, ki met Hashem ha'ita, was met Hashem. Hashem didn't make them want to make peace. So we can kill them. L'chazek dibam nekata melchama et yisrael eman ha'harimam. We don't want them to be with us. L'beti yot lem techina, ki leman ha'shminam kashiv ha'ashim et Moshe. That's the main chapter. And then chapter Yud Bet names all the kings that he conquered. It's all unbelievable pasukim. Just names kings. This king, that king. This king, that king. It's a lot of words. We don't have to read it now, but you could read it on your own. So there's the one thing that we have to just figure out is this this thing that excites us today is this Hasor. It's the only city that they burnt. And the Midrash says actually that Moshe Rabbeinu would tell Yoshua, make sure you burn Hasor.
So there must have been something very flagrant.
Exactly. What was the issue with Hasor and what is the special King Yavin that says he was the head of all the kings? What is going on over here? So if I'm not mistaken, there is a famous dream by Rav Tzadok HaKohen. He had a dream, which is like some sort of a revelation that he had in his sleep, in order to explain this yesod. But as an introduction, as an introduction to this dream that we're going to discuss today, of Rav Tzadok HaKohen, he has a sefer Devrei Halomot, about the dreams. In order to conquer Eretz Yisrael, so there has to be an acceptance upon the Jewish people in the Brit Milah. Eretz Yisrael and Brit Milah go together. You cannot be Kovesh Eretz Yisrael without having the Brit Milah in check. That explains that the first thing when Yeshua comes into Eretz Yisrael, if you remember, he circumcises the entire nation, because they were not circumcised in the Midbar, because it was dangerous for them. That has to be the foundation of conquering Eretz Yisrael, has to do with the Brit Milah. The interpretation is, the way they explain, is that Yehoshua ben Nun has this inyan of the Brit Milah. Why does Yehoshua have this mitzvah of the Brit Milah? He's the one that circumcises all the Jewish people. The holy books say that the Brit is connected to the mouth. Although we understand that the different parts of the body, but if you look at the wirings, the way the body is wired, exactly, it's the same line. And the rabbis say that if you take the word peh, which equals 85, is the same numerical value as milah, which also equals 85. And they come and teach us that if a person is not careful in his language and his speech, so rest assured that means he's not careful in his Brit Milah as well. I'll give you a rule like that. When you hear people talking Lashon Hara and talking all not nice things and gossiping and stuff, rest assured that you know that the Brit Milah is not being protected as it should. Where there's a pegam in the mouth, there's a pegam in the milah. That's a good rule to learn. And the opposite is also true. That's why if you know, during the Shovavim, we make Ta'anit Dibur. During the Shovavim, we make Ta'anit Dibur. What does Shovavim have to do with Ta'anit Dibur? Because when the person cleans his mouth, so automatically it cleans the other areas as well. That's an important point, Abotai. If somebody would ask, you know, Rabbi, I want to bring Kiddusha to myself. How do I bring Kiddusha? Watch what comes out of your mouth. And then already, automatically, the other things will come by itself. The Ikar Kiddusha is not only what comes in your mouth, but what comes out of your mouth. Everybody's careful on the kashrut. That's on the import business. But they're not careful on the export business. You know, on what's coming out of their mouth, they're a little more lax. But they don't realize that when the mouth is nifgam, the Brit Milah also becomes pagum. That's why, if you remember when Moshe Rabbeinu sends the spies to Eretz Yisrael, and they came and did a bad report, they did the bad report in their mouth. Automatically, once they gave the bad report in their mouth, that means the Brit Milah is nifgam as well, and therefore they cannot go into Eretz Yisrael. The bad report that the spies gave would affect the Kiddusha of the Milah. If you remember, Yehoshua was one of the spies that did not speak bad about Eretz Yisrael. So since his dibur was not nifgam, so the Milah of Yehoshua is not nifgam, and therefore he's able to bring the Jewish people into Eretz Yisrael and as a result circumcise them. So you see, wherever there's a chet of Lashon, there's going to be a compromise of Milah. Moshe Rabbeinu would add the Yud to Yehoshua's name. His name was Hoshea. He added the Yud to his name. He called his name from Hoshea to Yehoshua. Remember? Why did he add the Yud? So the Mekubalim write that a person has the name of God on his body. When he's born, he has his two hands. If you lift the two hands like the Kohanim do, you have a letter Sheen. You see the letter Sheen?
Yeah.
See it? Mm-hmm. Sheen. If the person puts his hand out, he has a Dalet. When he's standing and he puts his hand out, he has a Dalet. Understand or no? Sheen Dalet spelled Shed. Shed is a demon, a spirit, which is not a good thing. On the eighth day, what happens? We take Brit Milah. The Zohar Kadosh says the Brit Milah is the Yud. When you reveal the Atara, that Atara is the Yud, now you have Shem Shakai. Now you have, so the guy goes from being Shed to Shakai. So the Brit Milah is connected Yud. Many, many years ago, a guy came into my office in a Hayezer Torah Center at the time. And he was an older guy. And he said he was walking down the street. He was going to Shul on Yom Kippur. And he got bitten by a dog. What's the significance, he asked me. I don't know, maybe we have to go get rabies. I don't know what
you have rabies.
That's the first question I asked also. He said, no, it wasn't a rabid dog. But so he got bitten by a dog. It happens sometimes. He said, no, but I came to you now because it happened again. Now, he thought that's very significant that he got bitten by a dog twice in a short amount of time. Why wasn't the dog afraid of him? Usually the dog should be afraid of the... I told the fellow, as a roll of the dice, of course, go check your Brit Milah. Sure enough, he checked the Brit Milah and it was Pasul. The dog attacks the shed. He didn't have the Shem Shakai. So the dog is not afraid. Why didn't he have a proper Brit Milah? Whatever it is, the Mohel messed up many years prior. So he had to make the tikkun. And since that time, he hasn't come back to my office, so I'm assuming he didn't get bitten by a dog since then. So it was probably the right advice. Maybe he doesn't know where to find me, you mean. Yeah, that could be also. In any event, Moshe Rabbeinu saw that the Meregelim have an ability to pogam their speech. And as a result of pogamming their speech, they'll pogam the Brit Milah. So what letter does he add to Yeshua? The Yud. The Yud which represents the Brit Milah. In order that Yeshua will have ability to be shomer. And as a result, Yeshua was shomer his lashon, and he eventually takes the Jewish people into Eretz Israel in order to fight this kilipah of uncircumcised people. The only way we would beat them is the circumcised people would have to beat the uncircumcised. If you remember Amalek, one of the four wars of Amalek was they took the Brit Milahs and they threw them in the air. That was one of the wars. And who fought that war against Amalek? Yeshua as well. Anytime you see Brit Milah, you see Yeshua's right in the center of it. Because again, he was Shomer Peh, and therefore he had a Shemina and the Brit Milah as well. That's the introduction. Now I read you the dream. Rav Tzedek HaKohen.
When was he? When was his era?
A few hundred years ago. There's a midrash. The midrash says, "Amar Yoshua ben Menahama, otam 62 melachim sharag Yoshua, kulam ayu b'meshtesh shlavlam abinu." All the kings that eventually Yoshua would oust out and root out of Israel, they attended the party of Abraham. What was the party of Abraham? The Brit Milah. When he circumcised his son, he made a party. So you see that their downfall has something to do with the Brit Milah. They came to the party of Abraham Abinu. That was almost an omen that their downfall is going to be because of this mitzvah that the Jewish people have. The Mefarshim say that in order to overpower somebody, you have to be far from that person. What do you mean far from that person? A king is able to overcome commoners because there's a big distance between them. The king to the commoner. King to a king is not so easy. But a king to a commoner is easy. A soldier to a non-soldier is easy because there's a distance between them. In order to conquer the Goyim, you need to have a distance between us and them. And what's the biggest distance? The Brit Milah. That's already a distance on our body. If we would be close to them, we would be like equals. And as a result, we would have a problem. So therefore, the Brit Milah serves as that separation in order for us to attack. Now the dream. Shalosh otiyot meshemo yavin. Yud bet nun. He is the king. Yud bet nun is lashet tevot Yoshua ben Nun. Ki hu hayta beklipa ze l'umat ze neged Yoshua bekdusha. Which means the antithesis of Yoshua ben Nun is Yavin, which has the same letters. Yud bet nun, Yoshua ben Nun. The Yud of Yavin, because he has a Yud in his name, an extra Yud, that was the Kalipa that the Yavin was able to take from Bnei Israel because of their sins. So he had a little Kiddusha. And that's where he had his power from. He held on to the Yud. V'yu haya melech b'hasor. He was the king of Hasor. The numerical value of Hasor, Het is 8. Tzadi is 90, that's 98. Vav is 6. That's 104. And Resh is 200. Hasor is 304. The numerical value of Shed. Shed is 304 as well. Which means this Yavin Melech Hasor is the antithesis against Yeshua. Yeshua represents Brit Milah and Shem Shaddai. And Yavin is the Kripa, Yavin is Otiyot Yoshua ben Nun, and Hasor is Gematria Shed. I mean, he's the exact antithesis of what Yoshua is representing. That's Rav Tzadok's dream. Vezeu shesaraf Yoshua lehasor. That's why specifically he had to burn that specific city. The otal levad saraf. Ve'yadua de besrefat makom nishrefu kol haklipot asher sham. You burn it because you're burning the klipot. So it was like a beautiful hametz. Vezetam, like the doctor said, Serefat Irani Dahat. That's why you have to burn the Irani Dahat, because that's all the Kilipot of the Abu Dazara. Valken Nitztavel Srof Ulba'er Ma'olam Shoresh Kilipat Yesod. Ubaze Ayat Tikun Shalem. So this was a very, very mystical mystical war. So you see that right before the final conquest of Eretz Israel, we had to get rid of this kilipa of, you know, the anti-milah, the anti-yesod. That's exactly the fight that's going to happen right before Mashiach as well, which we're fighting that fight now. Now we're ready, the kilipa of Yavin and Hatzor is rising. Today immorality is very, very rampant. All sorts of, abominable, illicit, degenerate, however you want to say it, behaviors that are prevalent. I'm not saying that there's anything new. There's nothing new under the sun, and there's no new sins. Whatever sins they're making today, they were making 2,000 years ago. I believe that. The only difference today is the accessibility of the sin. The olden days, you had to, you had to earn the sin. You had to work for it. Yet today, the sin is very, very close.
Worse than saying it's not a sin.
And that's also. It becomes legalized. The legalization of sin. Which again, I don't think is a new thing either. But I think that the difference in this generation is the accessibility and the rampantness of it. So that's where our fight is, Rabotai. No coincidence why there's such a promotion in our generation of Shemirat HaLashon. These things don't come by coincidence. All of a sudden, in the final generation, the Hafetz Chaim comes along and he codifies the laws of speech. Till the Hafetz Chaim came, which is 1930s, there was no such thing as Hilchot Lashon Hara. Nobody knew the laws of Lashon Hara. You didn't know what was permissible, what's forbidden, what the guidelines are. There was a statement here, a statement there, but nobody put it into Shulchan Aruch, so to speak. Isn't that strange to say to 1930? I mean, this is the most serious sin. Nobody wrote a book on it. It's kind of incredible. The explanation is because at the end of time, the battle is going to be in Tikkun HaYesod. And Tikkun HaYesod is in the mouth, ultimately. That's where it starts. So they sent us Hafetz Chaim to give us this remedy of Tikkun Lashon. And automatically, if the people would be careful in Tikkun Lashon, and no coincidence, on the night of Kippur, for example, we start the night with Kal Nidre, where we're asking forgiveness for sins of speech. And the famous prayer at the time of Kal Nidre is also praying for all the avonot that were done with the Yesod. You say, what do you mean? What does Tikkun HaYesod got to do with Kal Nidre? It has everything to do with Kal Nidre. Because we didn't use our mouth properly for Nidre, and Harameh, and Kunameh, and Kunaseh, and Kunacheh, and Shavuot. So that one thing leads to that. Like the Gemara says, Va'avon Nidarim Banim Metim. Because of the sin of vows, children die. It means zera lebatala. That means banim metim. Ba'avon nedarim, banim metim. That the sin of nedarim causes banim metim, causes this sin to come. So you see that there's a connection. So no coincidence that the end of time, where the battle is going to be on Tikkun HaYesod, God sent us to Hafetz Chaim to learn the laws of Lashon Hara. In order to be mitakenet. The spies that spoke Lashon Hara in the land, they cannot go into the land because Begam of Lashon is Begam in the Brit Milah. Eretz Yisrael cannot be conquered unless one has a perfection in the Brit Milah. Yoshua, that got the perfection, he didn't speak bad about the land, so the Brit Milah was in check. That's why God added the letter Yud to his name, which added the letter Yud. Yud is Keneged, the Yud of Shaddai, which is the Yud of Brit Milah. And when he came into Eretz Israel, the kilipah that stands against him is Yavin, Yeshua ben Nun, who stole the Yud from B'nai Yisrael, because the Kelipa always steals the Kiddusha from us, we had to take it back. He comes from Hasor, which is Gematria 304, Gematria Shed. And the only place that he burnt, this place he has to, because this already is the Tum'ah, La'avid Yudim in the Ares, Va'elim Kerot Shekaretun, the Teken Olam, the Malchut Shaddai. That's what Yeshua was involved in now, the Teken Olam, the Malchut Shaddai. And that's the same thing that happens to happen, you know, in our time today. In Eretz Yisrael, unfortunately, I have to say, to my dismay, that there's immorality there as well. You know, there's movies and there's things that are not supposed to be, you know, inappropriate, you know, levels of you know, hedonism, and that's gonna have to go away before the Eretz Yisrael becomes, you know, purified. You cannot have, you know, parades for all these sorts of, you know, deviant lifestyles in the Holy Land, in Jerusalem, in Tel Aviv, and then expect the land to have, you know, accept us. The land is very sensitive, especially to these sins. So, Baruch Hashem, we had Yeshua that was able to be the antithesis of this. You needed Tzaddik to come, Mashiach, Tzidkenu, to be the antithesis of the Averot, and I'll have to purge it and purify it. And that'll be the ultimate tikkun. So that's the story in the Navi'ah today, which is a kind of amazing musar. Now we'll just say one word on the Shabbat Gadol that we have. This week is Shabbat Gadol, as you know. I don't know why it's not called Shabbat Gedolah. I don't have an answer to that question. It's a grammatical question. Shabbat is Nekeva. Gedol is Zachar. Shabbat Gedolah it should be. Okay, go ask your local grammarian. There's some people that love these type of questions and they'll sit on it. And you might get an answer. I'm not coming to talk about that today. There's a famous Gemara in Megillah, page 13. Haman goes to Ahasuerus, and Haman tells Ahasuerus that these Jewish people are worthless. All day long they're involved in Shehi Pehi. Rashi says, what is Shehi Pehi? Shehi Shabbat Hayom, Pehi Pesach Hayom. He's trying to say that the Jewish people, they never go to work. Every time you try to call a Jewish plumber, he says, I can't, Shabbat Hayom. After Shabbat, what does he tell you? Sorry, it's my holiday, Pesach Hayom. So he says, they're not the unproductive, lazy people, always giving excuses, Shabbat Hayom, Pesach Hayom. So the Ben Ish Hai in Ben Yoyada, on that Gemara, he asks a very strong question. He asks the question, what do you mean they're always saying Pesach Hayom? Pesach is only 7 days. I mean, you're right. For 7 days, you can't get a Jewish plumber, a Jewish electrician. After Pesach, they're available. I mean, what? HaShadosh is not stupid. He knows it's only a 7 day holiday. So he's coming with, if he would have said, oh, would they say Pesach Hayom, Sukkot Hayom, Hanukkah Hayom, Purim Hayom, Yom Ha'atzmaut Hayom, then we understand. But for him to come along and say, they're just so caught up with this one holiday, Pesach Hayom, what's the... So the Ben Ish Hai Ben Yoyada says something very, very, very interesting. The Hainu, B'tchilat HaKayitz, Ahar Nisan, right after Pesach, what do? Huzman Kitzirat Kitim. That's, they have to cut, you have to cut the wheat for the matzah already. In the summer, when do they cut the wheat for the matzah? In the summer. Ven Yotzim Nesadot, so they go to the fields, they're busy, Haburot, groups. Ve'im Teshadum Nechab Telchun, tell us, where are you? Where are you going? Yom Lul Ksor Chitim, we have to go cut the wheat, we got to take off this week, this is the preparation, the summer when the dry season. Shimurim b'shvil matzah. V'yefshal likach chaitim min hashuk. You can't buy chaitim from the shuk. You have to buy it from the matzah shemura. Shat ketzira. V'har shenei o shlosha shavot. Okay, 2 or 3 weeks pass. Shuv yotzim em nesadot. They go back to the fields. V'im tesh'alem, you ask them. Mayasu sham. What are you doing? You went to the fields already. Yomru gam kem b'shvil ketzirat chaitim l'matzot. You gotta cut the wheat. V'alo kevar asitem ketzira. You did ketzira already last month. Yomru lo asinu me'uma. We couldn't do anything. Be'ota alicha ki yardu geshamim. It was raining that day. V'nifsidu ha'shimonim shayu yibeshim. We learned if the stalks become dry in the ground already and it rains on them, hametz. So we couldn't. We got to go back. We got rained out. We're trying to find stalks that were still being your neck from the ground, because if they're still your neck from the ground, the water does not turn them into chametz. 3 weeks later, they're going back to the fields. We found wheat and we cut. As we were bringing it, they got wet. You know, sometimes how do they bring it? They bring it in the on the back of the horse, and then they go to the back of the horse. What happened? It fell off the back of the horse, landed in the water. Hametz, gotta go back. V'lachen hachozlim v'koslim ki be'ofen shlosha chodashim iyar sibal tamuz. That's all they're doing is cutting the wheat for the matzot. Hargak b'chodesh av. Okay, now what happens? So Pesach 3 months. What happens in the month of Av? Yotzim lekeramim shebekefarim ve'omrim lavi anavim la'asut yayin haga Pesach. We have to make wine for Pesach. So the month of Av, that's when the grapes start to ripen. Shesarik lebotzlam biyadenu. We can't buy wine from the shuk for Pesach. It's because of the Pesach, special wine. Ubezeh ha'esek v'avnim kol chodesh. That's the whole Av. The Av is a wine country. Hagag be'elul. Chozrim v'yotzim lekeramim. They go back to the vine, to the fields. V'nishalim nechad telchu. Where you going? Navi temarim. We need to get dates. La'asotam haroset. Unbelievable. We have to go get the dates for the haroset. Ki lo nuchal leknot temarim min hashuk. We can't buy regular dates, to get special dates for the haroset. Amazing. So the whole month of Elul, according to the Bein Ishchai, that's Haroset month. We're going to Seliot and we're preparing for Rosh Hashanah. The Bein Ishchai is thinking about the Haroset already in Elul.
Months away.
Months away. Then he says, well, Chodesh Tishri is Yom Tov. So we can't work in Tishri. Chodesh Heshvan Kislev Tevet. We're baking the matzot. And, making the matzot. So basically, that's it. That's the whole year. So basically, Haman said, every time you want these Jews to do something, they're doing some preparation for Pesach. It's like today. Yeah, 1 month they're making the hotel reservations. The other month they're making the plane reservations.
They don't know what a date looks like.
The other day, they're making their spa reservations. Pesach is it's a busy holiday.
Tea time.
Yeah, they got their tea time at the lounge, prepare their lounges, buying the sunscreen. So it's a whole year event, until ordering the taxi, getting back and forth to the airport, transfers, luggage, weighing the luggage, all that stuff. So
more luggage, that picks it up from the house now.
But you got to call them, you have to arrange it, you got to be there. But in the olden days,
prepare all year long.
All year long was Pesach. The Bein Ishchai is telling it to you. The interesting part of it over here is the month of Elul is Haroset. That's already significant.
Why?
Why? That's the big question. Why is it crooked letter?
The other one is wine. Is it? Why is it?
So what is the sod of the haroset? You know. You know it already, or you want to hear it? Or,
I'm guessing.
I know you're guessing. I know that. We read in the Rabbeinu Ari today. You want to bring the Shara Kavanot for a second? In Shara Kavanot in Perek Vav. What caught my attention in the Shara Kavanot was the title of the chapter. The title of the chapter is very, 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 very telling. Shar Kavanot Pesach Perek Vav. I just want to read one line from the headline of the chapter. This is of Chaim Vital giving us the secrets of Pesach. He comes along and he says in Perek Vav, Nebaer bo beorich. I can explain to you in length. Seder Leil Pesach, v'matzot, v'arba kosot, v'karpas, v'gam haroset. Unbelievable. I mean, don't forget the haroset. I'm even give you a hadushim on the haroset. Kavanat the haroset. It's an amazing thing. And at the end, he even gives you recipes. Believe it? So what is the sod of this haroset that makes such a big deal of it? And we're going to learn this, kavanot in this. What is the secret of it? Hami, bring us the Rambam. Elchot hametz u'matzah. So anyway, there's a machloket in the Gemara why we eat harotzit. Let's go according to the pshat first. There's a machloket between Tana Kama and Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Tzadok. Tana Kama says we eat harotzit mishum kapa. Maze kapa. Rashi says there's a certain poison or worm or poison that's in the maror. And in order to neutralize it, we dip the maror into the haroset, and therefore it gets rid of the kappa. So it's really not a mitzvah to eat haroset on its own. It's only an antidote against the bitterness or the poison in the maror. That's quite a hakamim kappa. The Bilazabri Bitzadok says it's a mitzvah. So we have a machloket. Is it a mitzvah or is it an item just to neutralize the poison? The Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayot, he wrote a Pirush to the Mishnah. The Rambam says the Pirush HaMishnah that the halacha does not follow Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Tzadok. Halacha follows Tana Kama. And therefore, according to the Rambam, haroset is not a mitzvah. You have to eat it because you have to eat it, but it's not a mitzvah. Meaning, that's why we don't say a berakah in the haroset. If you held it, it's a mitzvah, you'd have to say Asher Kedeshanu B'Mitzvotav V'Sivanu Alachirat Haroset. Correct. We make it a matzah too. 100%. But we don't. If there was a mitzvah to eat the haroset, you'd have to make the berakah in the haroset. Harambam says we posek like Tana Kama, that the main reason is to get rid of the poison, the kappa. The problem is that the Rambam in Perek Zayin Melchot Hametz U'Matzah, Perek Zayin, listen to the language of the Rambam. Haroset mitzvah medivrei sofrim. Dun dun dun. Eres Rabotai. What is mitzvah medivrei sofrim? You yourself, Rabbi Rambam, said in Pirusha Mishnayot that the haroset is not a mitzvah. You told it's Pushum Kappa. Now you tell me in the Yad HaZakah, HaHarosu Mitzvah Medivrei Sofrim. We have a stira. Anybody following? Oh, that's it, you enough. The Begid Mishneh asked the question. Alpha Pishen HaHarosu Mitzvah, Rabbi Eliezer Ben Yitzchok Omer Mitzvah, V'Halakha Kemoto. Halakha Kemoto. The Lech HaMishneh comes along and says, "Ubeferush HaMishneh katav ahefech." So the Lech HaMishneh is bothered. Rambam, you soter yourself. Have a stira in Rambam. Comes the rabbi called Shulchan Aruch HaRav. That's Shulchan Aruch Rabbi Zalman. Rabbi Zalman Miladi, original Zalman.
Not Zalman
Orba. No, this is from the Babbage, from Chabad.
Is it really?
This is Shulchan Aruch HaRav. The Bala Tanya. He wrote a Shulchan Aruch. It's called Shulchan Aruch HaRav. Very important to Sefer. Listen to what the Shulchan Aruch HaRav says. It's in Taf Ayin Gimal. Halakha Chaf. Achar she'akal yirakot, if he eats the karpas, yaviyu lefne mi she'omer agada gimel matzot shel mitzvah. Bring the three matzot in front of the Baal HaBayit. Kedei lomar alem agada. You must read the agada over the matzot. She'ne'emar lechem oni. What does lechem oni mean? V'darshu hachamim lechem she'onim alav devarim arbe. Lechem oni, milashon na'anot, to answer, to talk. It's the bread that you say a lot of the Divrei Torah over. Harbe da'inu amirat agada. Ve'od ne'emar v'gatal l'mincha b'yom u'lemor. Ba'abur ze lo amarti ela b'sha'a she'esh matzah u'maron u'rachem l'fanecha. That when you have the mitzvah of agada, when the matzah and the maron are in front of you. Lefikach, sarik she'e gam maror l'fana b'sha'at amirat agada. So not only the matzah, he says. You have to have the maror also, because it says, "B'sha'a she'matzah u'maror, murachim l'fanecha." Ve'od, she'sarik lomar alav maror zeh. You have to point it to the maror. V'tiknu she'yeh lefanav haroset b'sha'at amirat ha'gadah. Hey, the haroset again, rabotai. She'haroset hu zecher latit. V'lachen tzarik liyot al ha'shulchan b'sha'at se'mesaper sh'amud mitzrayim. So the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, Shulchan Aruch HaRav is telling you over here that you have to have this on the table, no different than the matzah and the maror and the haroset. So could be, Rabotai, that might answer the Rambam. The Rambam in Perusha Mishnayot is discussing the inyan of eating the maror. The eating of the maror is not a mitzvah. Because we posek like Tanakama. However, in the Yad HaZakah that he's talking about, mitzvah de Rabbanan, means it's a mitzvah to have it in front of you at the time that you're reading the Haggadah. You hear the chiduk? It's two different than yanim. It's to eat it. Eating it is for the kappa, to get rid of the poison. What's the mitzvah of the sofrim? To have it in front of you at the time of the... And if you look at the Rambam, by the way, listen to the language. Acharoset mitzvah medivrei sofrim. He doesn't say to eat it. Zecher letit shayu avdim bo memitzrayim. Kesed osim oto. Then he gives you recipes. Unbelievable. Rambam gives you a recipe. It's a recipe book. לוקחים תמרים, גרוגרות, סימוקים, דורסים אותם, נותנים אותם חומץ, ומטבלים אותם בתמרים כמותית, ומביאים אותה על השולחן בליל פסח. What's the Rambam's lashon? Bring it to the table. Over here he's not talking about eating. He doesn't say eat. He already told you in the Perusha Mishnayot, there's no mitzvah. We don't say Asher Kedeshanu Nechol haroset. But here he says mitzvah. Yeah, what's the mitzvah? Shiyah l'shulchan. That when you're reading Haggadah Shel Pesach, there's an inyan to have the haroset in front of you. Whether it's on the plate, it's not on the plate, make sure it is there. It's on the plate because we follow the Ramban. And everybody comes along and has an opinion on the ingredients. Harambam says over here, you put the tamarim, and you put all sorts of items here in order to make it look like cement or tar. So it has in the straw, like the cinnamon, the Ashkenazim they put, in order that it has this look over here, like the teat, zekhel teat. Well, I don't know if it has to taste like cement. I don't know if it has to taste like cement. I don't know if it has to taste like cement. It has to have the consistency of it. Although it's not so simple. The Rav Chida in the laws of Haroset in the Birkei Yosef in Ot Yud Bet, he brings down over here from the Shibulei Aleket. Shibud Aleket says, "V'yesh mesimim bo me'at girirat levena." No, they put the brick in there. Bricks. They take actual bricks and they put the bricks in there. I'm just telling you what the Shibud Aleket said. They take the brick and they shave it into it and they put it into the thing. Haroset is lashon heres. Heres is like clay. They actually put the brick into the zecher latit. So it's not only zecher latit, like you said, it actually you're eating cement. Mekatab b'gilyon harav mekubal maram di lonzano. So the mekubal rabbi di lonzano writes on this. He writes, "Bebahaluti mirot shigaon keze." He said, "I am shocked to see this craziness." He says, "Ulay gam bepurim yotziu mehem dam zecher legezerat hariga." Maybe on Purim we should drink blood to remember that he wanted to kill us and drink our blood, Aman. What's going on over here? Here's the key line. He said, "What are you talking about? The purpose of the haroset is lahafoch hayagon lesason, to turn the yagon, the bad, into joy, v'arach betov." And he says, therefore, it's got to be a ta'ut sofer. It can't be that's what he meant to put the... But right over there from this mikubal, Rabbi Dunan Zarin, you see the purpose of haroset. He tells you the purpose of the haroset. Alpi ha-kabbalah. La'afok ha-yagon l'simha ve'hara letov. Rabotai, the recipe's over, Gary. I'm done with the recipes now. You missed it. Rabotai, you want to go to Subsational? He sells haroset for the holiday. With meatballs in it. What do I tell you? We're learning now recipes. We're finished with the recipes for a second. But this Maram de Lonzano over here is very, very significant in giving you the purpose of the haroset. Jaime, I know you're busy. Could you bring a Gemara Pesachim for a second? Tosfot in Pesachim tells us some other items that you're supposed to put in the haroset. Everybody till now said you're putting items that make it look like tar and cement and which is supposed to remind you of the Sha'bud. The famous story of the Ben Ish Chai. The Ben Ish Chai says there was a rich man, he had a servant. The servant was Ashkenaz guy, Baruch Hirsch.
Yeah, that's good.
And he told him on Erev Pesach, Baruch Hirsch, go to the store and buy me egozim and tapuhim. Tosfot's going to say that you're supposed to put in the haroset walnuts and apples. We'll see why. We'll see why in a minute. So he tells Baruch Hirsch, go buy me egozim and tapuhim for the haroset. Anyway, Baruch Hirsch comes back 2 minutes before the holiday. The master's upset at him. I'm waiting for the whole day for the haros, and then you come back 2 minutes for the holiday. Which I do. I got caught up. I saw my friend in the shuk. I saw your friend in the shuk. You have to go. So he lost his cool, the Adon. And he turned to Baruch Hirsch and he told him, Behema. He called him a Behema. So Baruch Hirsch is going to protect himself. He turns to the master and says, Ata. Now I got heated. So the master says, we can't go into the holiday with a fight. So he has to think quickly. He said, what do you think when I said Behema? Behema's Rashi Tevot. Baruch Hirsch Maheveta. He says, I know, I answered you. Ata, egozim tapuhim meveti. He answered back quickly as well. Anyway, the Tosafot on Kuftet Zayin. On Kuftet Zayin, the Tosafot, the Bura Matir Tzarich. Aha. You good, Elliot, or no? You can shut it, no problem. You can shut it, you can shut it. Kuftet Zayin, Mechila. Yeah. Ubitshuvat the Geonim. That's what's calling the Geonim. La'asot haroset beperot shedemer lechneset Yisrael b'shir hashirim. Open shir hashirim, and whatever fruit Shlomo Melech compares the Jewish people to, throw it into the haroset. Tachat ha-tapuach or artikha. That's apples. Kefil ha-harimon rakatech. Pomegranates. Ha-te'ena ha-chaleta fageha. Figs. Amarti ale betamar. Dates. Elginat egosh yaradti. Walnuts. Ushkedim. Al sheshakad ha-kadosh baruch hu ala ketz. God brought the redemption quickly. Shakad is quickly. Shaked is like quickly. So interesting Geonim over here. Which now makes everything very confusing to us. One rabbi is telling us, it's Zecher Latit. Which sounds like it's a negative item. Tosfot comes along and says in the Geonim, it's coming to teach us all the fruits of Shlomo HaMelech that Bnei Yisrael are compared to. That sounds like it's a good item. So this haroset, where does it stand? Is it a positive item, like the arba kosot, which is cherut, or is haroset an avdut item, which Rambam says like it's an avdut item? Understand the question? I'm looking at the ingredients. The only way I can understand what this item is from the ingredients. Some rabbis tell me the ingredients are to make it look like tar. Even one rabbi said, put a brick in it. Rabbi Donzano didn't like that. That's too much. Tosfot comes along and says, no, make it all pretty fruit. That should have one minute. Nothing to do with tar and the teeth and all that. So I'm questioning, make up your mind. Where does the haroset stand on the scale? Understand the question, Rabotai? Gary, is the question clear or no? Pretty much. What part is not? He's saying pretty much. Something's vague. That's why I see his eyes are not clicking. Okay, pretty much. Anyway, the Mekubalim write that the numerical value of Maror, Mem is 40, Resh is 200, that's 240. Vav is 6, 246, Resh is 200, 446. Gematria Mavet. Mem Vav Taf. Gematria Mavet. No, before you get to the Haroset. Maror is Gematria Mavet. Oh, very good. What are we talking about over here? There's a big yesod that the Hachamim say from the Kabbalah. When the Torah introduces death in the 6 days of creation, the Torah introduces death. What does the Pasuk say regarding death? Pasuk says, Vayar lim et kol asher asa v'hineh tov me'od. The Gemara says, me'od zumita. Tov is tov me'od, death. On the Mefarshim, one question, tov me'od is death? Go tell somebody when he's dying, yeah, Baruch Hashem, tov me'od, ashrecha. What's tov me'od? And the Mefarshim explain a big yesod in the Emunah system. Death doesn't only mean the final death, yisurin is also a form of death. The Gemara says, Malikat la kula, malikat la palga. Makot is a form of death. Punishing the body. The Torah gives us a tremendous hashkafa, how to look at Yisurim. And everybody has Yisurim. V'hineh tov me'od. The Yisurim ultimately is for our good. When a Kadosh Baruch Hu gives Yisurim to a person, it's not vengeful, it's not to hurt the guy, it's not to break him. The Yisurim that a person goes through, we can't understand how, that's where Emunah comes in. But whenever you have a question on Yisurim, you have to go back to V'hineh tov me'od. Not only is it good, it's very good. We don't ask for Yisurim, I agree with that also. No one asks for Yisurim. But the Jewish attitude towards things that don't go our way is, whatever that knows, like we said yesterday from the rabbi from Sanz, that he lost his son. So he gave the famous mashal. Remember the mashal we said yesterday? When the guy is walking down the street, somebody hits him from behind.
Oh yeah, depends who it is.
Hazak baruch. So right away he gets hit from behind, he gets shocked. Who's hitting him from behind? He turns around, it's his best friend. And he hugs him. It depends who's hitting you. So he says he got hit, he lost his son. He turned around, he saw it was God that did it. Okay, but Allah loves me. He was able to make peace with it. That's the tzaddikim that even in the time of difficulty, they recognize that it's from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Ultimately, it's tov me'od. The name of judgment of God is Adanut. Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud. Those four letters spell also the word Dina. Dina de Malchuta Dina. That's Adanut. Dina Kashya. Adanut is Adon. Adon's the master, comes with his whip. Adanut. But the Mekubalim writes something incredible. That only the outside letters look like judgment, but the inner letters are actually mercy, but you don't see those letters. In every judgment, if you look at the inside of V'hineh tov me'od, it's really good. We only see the letters Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud. But the Aleph is Aleph, Lamed, Peh, Lamed, Peh. That's the Milui. Aleph. How do you spell Aleph? Aleph, Lamed. Forget about the Aleph. The Aleph is revealed. That's judgment. I'm talking about the Lamed, Peh. How much is Lamed, Peh?
110.
110, exactly. Then you have Dalet. I'm not worried about the Dalet. Lamed Taf, that's 430. 430 and 110? 540. Aleph Dal Nun. Vav Nun is 56.
596.
And then you have Yud, which is Vav Dalet. It's 10. 606. 596 plus 10. The inner letters of Adanut is 606. Understand what we're saying so far? Listen to the secret now of the story we're going to say today. when a person sits down at the Seder and is eating the Maror reminds us of all the death that went on in Egypt. This was a Holocaust that lasted for centuries. The blood baths that Pharaoh took with our children. He used the babies as human bricks. The psychological torture, all the deaths that went on for all these years. Abu Dhabi Tariq was 86 years. That means there were death camps for 86 years. In Germany, it was for 4 or 5 years.
86, not
210? No, the death camps were 86 years. They were there for 210 years. The death camps were 86 years. Abu Dhabi Tariq. Abu Dhabi Tariq was 86 years. You see what's going on over here, Rabotai? A person comes to the Seder and he starts to see all this maror. He's also reminded to the maror that he has in his own life. Maror gematria mavet. The yisurin that he has. And when you start to think about all the things that go wrong in your life, you can start, Ad v'shalom, question God. Start to question God. So you need something on the table at that moment when you're going through the beginning of the Haggadah, which was still had all the troubles, to right away put you in check. Haroset has the letters Het Samech, which stand for what? Has. What does Has mean? Mercy. Mercy. Shekadosh Baruch Hu Has. He has mercy. And what's the other letters of the Haroset? Taf, Resh, Vav, which is what? 606, which is the inner letters of Adanut. Hastaru. Hastaru is the explanation of what? That even though we see the Maror is Hastaru. Although it looks like death, Minet Tov Me'od. Taru is the inner letters of Adanut. That's the sweetness of the Tov Me'od. When a person takes the Maror and he dips it, that's the poison the Gemara was talking about. We don't have poison in our Haroset in that Maror today. The poison is the Hashkafic poison. When a person takes the Maror, he starts to say to himself, where's God? Why is God doing this? There's a poison in this Maror. Dip it into the Haroset. Right away, put it in the... To neutralize that Nahash, that poison of the Nahash that tries to get the person to question God's... God's ways. And that's why Tosfot says, you put good items in there. Because ultimately the haroset is a good item. Put the apples in it. Why the apples? Tosfot says, you know why you put apples in it? Because of the pasuk and Shira Shini. What did the pasuk say? Ta'at the tapuah or articha. So the Mikubalim say, Tahat Tapua. Take the letters, Tahat Tapua. Under the Tapua. What's the letter after Taf? No. Under. Not before. Before the over. No, what's after a Taf in the alphabet? What's the first Sofit? Chav Sofit. Chav Sofit. Let's go slow. What's after the letter Taf? Chav Sofit, Mem Sofit, Nun Sofit, Pes Sofit, Tzadi Sofit, Kamen HaPetz. What's the numerical value of Chav Sofit? 500. Taf is 400. The first Sofit is 500. That's the Taf. Then you have Tapua. What's after the Peh? Tzadi. That's 590. Tapua, Vav. What's after the Vav? 7. That's 597. And then what do you have? Chet. What's after the Chet? Tet. What's 597 and 9?
606.
606. Wow. Tachat Tapuah. Tachat Tapuah is Taru. Tachat Tapuah is Taru again. That's why you put the Tapuah in the Haroset. Tachat, and Tosfot quotes that Pasuk. Tachat Tapuah. Because you have to know that all the Merinut that a person has, it's Tachat Tapuah. Under the Tapuah, you have the 606, which is the Milui of Shem Adarut, which is the hidden part that you don't see, which is the Tov Me'od. It's not a mitzvah to eat the haroset, but it's a mitzvah to have it on the table. Because when you're reading all the troubles that go on in Mitzrayim, and you remember your own Mitzrayim, You have to look at the haroset. B'sha'ah haroset monach lefanecha in order to... That's what the Rambam means. Put it there. And that's what Rabbi Dolanzano meant. Rabbi Dolanzano, when he quotes over here, he says, V'halo sirichim lehafech hayagon lesason v'harab betov. That is the yesod of haroset. To switch the bad to good and the rab to tov and the yagon to sason. You understand the purpose? That Maram Dolan Zarov is a big secret of the tikkun of the haroset. Of course, the other day we were by the Hatam Sofer, as you all know. We just came back from the Hatam Sofer. Pressburg, wherever he's buried, Bratislavia. So the Hatam Sofer says a big hadush. We said a lot of hadushim at the grave, but this hadush was we saved it for today. Rabbi Yehuda yanotem b'hem simanim. Datzach, Adash, Be'ahav. And everybody wants to know what are these simanim over here? Datzach, Adash, Be'ahav. What is the secret of Datzach, Adash, Be'ahav? Oh, Rashi, thank you, Rabbi Yehuda.
Oh, yeah, I know it.
Did me a big favor.
Yeah, right.
He took the first letters of each Makkah and he made an acronym. For this, you deserve a front page in the Agadash of Pesach. That's a God. Oh, it's about them all. Or maybe there's something more deep. No.
Okay.
That's 501. That's okay. But that's a different point. So, Hatam Sofer says the purpose of the whole Haggadah is to bring you to Emunah. What's the emunah? God forbid, if somebody passes away, what's the first food that they feed them?
Egg.
And?
Bread.
Lentils. And? Others. Why do they feed them the lentil?
Poor man's food.
No, not because poor man. And a rich man passes away.
Circular.
That's one reason, because circular. But the Gemara is a different reason. That the Adashim en lahem peh. It's closed. It does not have a mouth. Why are they giving that to the... If the person loses somebody, how's from a tragedy, the proper reaction is supposed to be en lecha peh. Don't open your mouth. We don't have questions. The Adish is trying to give the guy musar. Just like this doesn't have a mouth, and the chaper, God knows what he's doing. That means you have to accept the gezerot of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, be'ahava. You know that in Hebrew the letter het and the letter he are interchangeable. Het and he interchangeable. It's the same place. But Ashkenazim, they don't even make a difference between the two. How do they say he? How do they say het? Het. Ches. We make a difference. We say, hey, and hey. It comes from the Garon. Of course. Those two letters are interchangeable. So Atam Sofer says, Datzach. You know what Datzach means? Ditzah. Ditzah means be happy. You know what your happiness should be? Datzach. Datzcha. Your joy. You know what your joy should be? Adash. That when you have, God forbid, like a lentil, you have a Chas V'Shalom, a tragedy, be'ahav, you accept it, be'ahava. That's Cha, is Adash be'ahav. That's the whole purpose of the Haggadah of Pesach. That even when a person goes through Getz Halmavet, Lo Ira Ki Ata Imadi, Borei Olam is with him. You remember we said... Yesterday, we'll go quick because the time is short. I have the meeting also as well. There's a rabbi called Rabbi Menachem Azariah Mipano, and he wrote a sefer called Me'akasita, and he says a big chiddush regarding the Haggadah of Pesach. Rabbi Menachem Azariah, he bases it on the fifth chapter in Shira Shirim. The fifth chapter of Shira Shirim says the following. I quote. Now they're coming at 10:15 to the Shiur. Ichlu re'im shitu v'shichru dodim. Ichlu re'im means eat with my friends. Ichlu re'im, friends. Shitu, drink. V'shichru, get drunk. Shichru dodim, get drunk with dodim, with the beloved ones. Says Ramah Mipano, what is this talking? He says, this is Leil Seder. Ichlui says, is Shulchan Orech. Ichlu Re'im. Shetu is what? Kosh Berkat Amazon. Shetu, the third cup. And then what do? You have the fourth cup after. The fourth cup already is called Shichru Dodim. That's already the course where you're supposed to get drunk. The fourth cup, Shichru Dodim. And it's not a bad drunkenness. It's a shikrud dodim. It's considered an elevated drunkenness. He writes, shikrut she'en bo gnai. No, en bo gnai, it's not a disgrace. It's a
purpose.
It's a purposeful drunkenness. It's not a... What's the explanation? What is the shikrut that he's talking about? Because by the end of the Haggadah, they were saying the Hallel, we're praising God, we're giving God all the praises. By that time over there, it's all Sheba at that point. It's all Hallel Agadol, Hallel Mitzri, Nishmat Kol Chai, it's all the praises. So he says, what is this drunkenness referring to? Yesterday's shiur, if you remember yesterday's shiur, we said that Nebuchadnezzar, he saw the miracle of Daniel, Mishael, Hananiah, Azariah, they came out of the fire. And you remember what he did when he saw they came out of the fire? Atoi kemar abribin, v'temohi kemar takifin, malchute malchut alam, v'shultane imdar v'edar. He praised God. And the Gemara says, what a praise. He rivaled David HaMelech. That was a praise like David HaMelech. So they told him, send the angel down and smack him in the face, it says. Because if he keeps on continuing, he's going to be more than David. He's going to make David stealing like nothing. So they smack him in the face. And we asked yesterday, that's not fair. Remember we gave the mashal yesterday, the guy's running in the marathon.
Yeah.
And every year he wins the marathon, the same guy. There's another guy coming in on the inside lane. And they say, oh, well, he's going to win. Break his kneecaps. Break his kneecaps, he falls on the floor, another guy wins. Okay, good, Baruch Hashem, everything's fine. David HaMelech, you still won. That's not fair. Nebuchadnezzar, he was doing good praising. Remember that question we had yesterday?
Sure.
That's right, then we talked about that nonsense. What did we say yesterday? We said a big hadush from one of the Admorim, a Gur, one of them. He said like this. Who's better, David or Nebuchadnezzar? You have to see, when were they praising God, under what circumstances? David was praising God under the worst circumstances. Every Tehillim is under duress. Abshalom wants to kill him. Shimi ben Gera is cursing him. Shaul, everyone is beborho. He's running away from something. And what is he saying? Kosh Yishuot Esav, Shem Hashem Mekla, Sarav Yegon Himsav, Shem Mekla. Nebuchadnezzar, what is he doing? He saw a miracle open in front of his eyes. Somebody got, three people got saved from a fire. He says, Atoi kemar abrivin. That's a great praise. So what does God do? God says he might even be greater than David HaMelech if he could praise like this, but let's test him. He smacks him in his face, which means he gave him Yisurin. What was Nebuchadnezzar's reaction? Nothing. That's the difference. When you got smacked in the face, you didn't say atoy kibar of rivin, vitimu kibar takifin. That's the proof that David's taking a battle. You understand the difference? It's a big musad the way we understand that Gemara. The mashal was that there's a one-legged guy running the marathon. That's a big thing, one-legged guy. And the other guy's running on 2 feet. And they say, why? He's going to catch up. He says, break one of his legs now. Let's see if we could... make it even. To make it even, you got to give Nebuchadnezzar a smack in the face. Now let's see. Now even with David. Now let's see how you react, how David reacts. And he didn't react. Question God, obviously, if he was bo'ed. So the Gemara says, why did they call Rut? The Gemara says, because it's going to come from him, from her, David. Shirivau lakadosh baruch hu. Meshirot v'tishbachot. Kosi devaya. The word devaya means an overflowing cup. You talk about somebody drinking. They talk about David HaMelech. David HaMelech was inebriated with the praises of God. So Ruth is Menashon devaya.
Cup runneth over.
Cup runneth over, exactly. Exactly, the cup runneth over. That's what it means, drunk. When a person's drunk, he doesn't make a difference between good and bad. The guy who's drunk, everything is good. Everything is happy. The guy's drunk, he's laughing at everything. He trips on his face, he's laughing. Hey, he's drunk. That's what it means. Ichlu v'shichru dodim, the Ramah Mipano says, shichrut she'en bo gnai. It's explained by the end of the Haggadah Shel Pesach, everything is good. Like a drunken man, that there's no sarabi yigun himself, shem Hashem mekla. You reach the level of emunah by the end of the Haggadah Shel Pesach, shichru dodim, where everything is in the eyes of the haroset, which is hastaru, that ultimately it's the mercy of the milui, and that's of course why at the end of Haggadah we reach Yerushalayim, which talks about the love affair that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has with the Jewish people. At that time we have the love even with all the troubles. That's the whole goal at the end of the Seder, to get to the Madrigah where all the Maror, and everybody has Maror at one time. We just went to Kibbeh Tzaddikim, everybody went with Maror in their pockets. And they deliver it to the Tzaddik, you know, to try to meet the Tzaddik, will put some Haroset on it for them. So nobody's exempt from that part of life. What the purpose of the Seder is to give us the perspective and the emunah that by the end you become like a drunken man, where everything is good, everything is looked in that light. So Maharam Dolenzano is actually correct when he says v'halos erichim lehafecha yagon lesason v'hara betov. That's the hagdara of haroset, to turn the yagon to Sason and the Ra to Tov. Vayar Elohim kol asher asa v'hine tov me'od. Stop over here. Baruch Adonai Olam. Amen.